Welcome back to Ask the Professor with Professor Stephen Rocklitz. I'm Georgia Peck from Canary Kitchen. Today we are going to be talking about Lyme disease. According to the CDC, in the U.S. alone, there are about 30,000 new Lyme disease diagnoses made every year, while other organizations claim the numbers are much higher, up to 300,000 new cases a year in the U.S. Many people recover from Lyme disease after a short course of treatment, but some people become chronically sick indefinitely and are said to never recover, despite intensive medical treatment and antibiotics. So our question today is, why do some people never recover from chronic Lyme disease? Before we begin this episode, I want to share a bit about my own health. I had been struggling with chronic pain and undiagnosed symptoms since age 14. Over the years, I visited so many doctors, naturopaths, and alternative healers, but none of them helped me, and some actually made me a lot worse. I never got a clear diagnosis, but I just kept searching for answers. After my high-risk pregnancy, I ended up with even more strange symptoms, and I pretty much lost hope of ever finding the root cause behind my symptoms. A month ago, I found Professor Stephen Rocklitz, and after reading his books and consulting with him, I now finally understand what has been going on with my body all these years. I have found real lasting pain relief, and most of my symptoms have now disappeared. I want to share what I have learned with the chronic illness community, and so I am here with Professor Rocklitz to answer your questions and provide information into the true nature of most chronic conditions and mystery symptoms. So let's get started with our main question today. Professor Steve, why do some people never recover from chronic Lyme disease?
Thank you, Georgia. Let me just go over Lyme disease itself, all right? The bacterium that causes it is a spirochete, the Borrelia, and it's carried by ticks in the U.S., And got its name because this town of Lyme, which is near the Long Island Sound, the southern coast of Connecticut, is the town of Lyme. And a lot of people believe that across the Long Island Sound, across the water, that this Plum Island, which the U.S. government used bioweapon base from the 1940s, through the 70s, and many people believe that the spirochete Borrelia was altered, weaponized, and that it accidentally or deliberately was released. I was just looking at a Newsweek article from just a year ago reporting that the full House of Representatives and the U.S. government actually approved an official request of the Defense Department to look into whether this was the Borrelia was actually weaponized, and of course you can't expect them to investigate themselves. But anyway, then it got its name from the town of Lyme in Connecticut, that many people got chronically sick and inflammatory illness and arthritic type complaints before they found out that it was due to this spirochete. And many thousands, hundreds of thousands of people have been diagnosed with that ever since the 1970s, and with some people reporting that they take treatments and still can't get well. And it's one of the big things that there are now many so-called Lyme experts that many people consult, and many people do not get any better. We'll go into the whether the treatment is helping, whether it might be making many people worse. But the Lyme disease and what's called chronic Lyme disease are real, although I just saw that it says on Wikipedia, the scientific community does not agree with that term. It just says post-treatment Lyme syndrome, and they do not recommend more than a couple of weeks of antibiotic treatment. But we'll get into what the so-called Lyme experts or Lyme literate practitioners say and do, and what's really going on. And it will be shocking to people, all right? So stay tuned. And maybe, in fact, maybe I would give the first case because it's like the epitome of what goes on in not just with the Lyme practitioners, but in much of what people think is alternative medicine. Then again, there are many thousands or millions now of people that give up on orthodox medicine, and then because again they don't get any better, and then they get into alternative, what they think is alternative medicine, and often is your own history. Many people actually get worse. Yeah. Given many things to take, and of course not tested when there are ways of testing that they'd be safe and effective. And so many people get just, as I put it, sicker and poorer when they see alternative practitioners. And one of the big things out there is to see the Lyme expert, because they put out that it is the cause of so many things. And I was actually shocked myself when some of my clients in recent years told me that the Lyme expert declared that Lyme disease is the cause of virtually all chronic neurological complaints, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, autism, and Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. There's no truth to that, but we'll get into that. But the first example that I want to give is a few years ago, a reader and client consulted me. And so his story is the epitome. It's very illustrative of what I assert is going on so much of the time. And because there are many people, why can't I overcome Lyme disease? So let me give you a real case. So this person got all my books and then did phone consultation with me and told me his story. And he said that he just, before finding me just a few weeks earlier, he had flown out again to his Lyme expert in your state there, actually Washington State, flew several thousand miles and did 4-hour consultation at $500 an hour. All right. And he told me, and for the full 3 years that he's been sick with this, and flown out there before, and again told him that he's got red urine all the time, I believe. And again, in the 4-hour session at $500 an hour, he's just going over his complaints, and he's telling him, I really think this red urine is must be at the heart of my problem. All right, and at the end of the 4 hours, he tells me that the Lyme expert, and again, he was not just an MD, he was an internist, internal medicine specialist. So at the end of the session, he told me that he said to him, let's retest you for Lyme. And that's all he said to him. So when he told me that, I know what's going on. For over 20 years, I've been talking about this, actually. Anyway, and again, I will go over my own case. I had a genuine case of Lyme. Anyway, so I told him that the way they work, it's their op plan that well, first I explained to him that off-colored urine, as I said in my last podcast, all right, is a hallmark of porphyria. That having black, blue, purple, pink, red, and of course, if it had red urine, he got his urine tested numerous times to make sure it wasn't blood, which it wasn't, all right? So having off-colored urine is virtually a guarantee that the person has porphyria and in a severe porphyric state. Not having off-colored urine, as I said last time, you know, doesn't mean anything. All right. So I told him, and I also told him what I know to be true, that the way they operate, regardless of any complaints he would have told him, that's all he probably would have told him at the end of that, let's retest you for Lyme. I didn't tell him what to say or do. And this person, by the way, got well by dealing with the underlying porphyria through me, right? So he didn't, I did not advise him what to say or do, but he later called me and told me that he called up his physician and said to him, you so-and-so, he used a little curse word there, but he told me, and said, you darn well knew all along that my red urine meant to have porphyria, and hung up on him. And so he didn't ask him for his money back or threaten him in any way, which, you know, would be justified because he suffered needlessly for 3 years. And he told me that the medical physician, the internist on his own, has sent him back not only the $2,000 for that session, all right, but sent him back every dollar he ever paid him over the 3 years. And I think, you know, it's clear to me why he did that, Because again, if anyone took him up to the medical board, here's a patient basically telling him he's suffering from porphyria. And that all of this physician is telling him, let's retest you for Lyme. And you could be sure, as they said to him, that that's his op plan, that that is how he and many other Lyme experts, Lyme literate, that's how they operate, I'm sad to say. Another example is, and we'll get into it maybe in my next podcast when we talk about neurological problems. The parents in France, the parents of an autistic boy had told me that, you know, desperately trying to get him to be able to talk at the age of 8 and to overcome all his symptoms, he had pretty severe autism. They had consulted with a Lyme expert and they got antibiotics and got the Artemisia wormwood for, quote, co-infection of Babesia. Okay. And since that didn't work, they told me they were about to take him to Germany because the Lyme expert said when the oral antibiotics or the oral wormwood Artemisia or other things for alleged co-infection of Babesia are not working, they're telling people to implant a PICC line so you can get antibiotics by IV every day for the rest of your life, so unless you get cured or unless you wisen up. All right. And also they told him, since they were in France and nobody in France was doing it, they gave him the name of a German medical doctor and told him to fly out there, to go there and to get the Artemisia wormwood injected into him. He had already didn't help when he had the oral Artemisia wormwood. All right. And only got sicker. And they their horrific circular logic, as I call it, that I'll get into. That means you have to get it injected into your blood, either the antibiotics or the Artemisia wormwood for co-infection of Babesia parasite. And so they were about to bring him there to Germany when they accidentally found me. And I strongly advised them not to do that. And I dealt with the porphyria by going over diet change, supplements and energy balancing techniques to do on him. And for the first time in his 8 years, within a couple of weeks of that, they told me, he's now talking, first words and then sentences. And then the mother told me a little while later, he won't stop talking, that he was complaining now, day and night. He's talking day and night now. Anyway, and he got well. And they told me how much they appreciate, because they know what would have happened if they brought him there to Germany to get the Artemisia wormwood injected. Let me give a third case of myself, because again, I did what a lot of people do. You seek out big name doctor who charged a fortune. So some 28 years ago, I made the same mistake myself when I was in New York. I lived actually not far from the Connecticut border in the town that I lived in. And sure enough, I had the tick on me and left then and made the circular bullseye on the shoulder, and had arthritic complaints and cardiac arrhythmia and sleep, and what I now know, sleep apnea and fatigue, and, you know, felt pretty bad and suffered for 6 months because I had gone to big name holistic medical doctor in New York City and wouldn't give me the standard treatment. So that's another thing with what I call the Lyme industry. A lot of the Lyme experts don't even give the standard treatment for whatever reasons. And they're not very, very good reasons. Anyway, I gave the Artemisia, which of course made me very ill, but wouldn't give the standard treatment. So I suffered for 6 months. And on my own, I decided to see local inexpensive GP. And I believe I told him what I wanted, or he already knew, or a combination of both, for a very minimal fee, and gave me the standard doxycycline. In 3 days, after suffering for 6 months, I never forgot. In 3 days, most of my symptoms left, and I finished a 10-day course of treatment, and that was the end of it. Never came back, never had any symptoms from that. But, of course, everybody is different. Some people need several weeks of treatment. Anyway, but again, for over 20 years now, I have helped so many people with my books or consultations or both, and then some of them even have Facebook pages, Lyme Fundraiser. And they're chronically sick and don't get any better. And okay. And the sad truth is, for a lot of people, the Lyme experts use labs. that or a lab or labs that find Lyme on almost everybody that gets tested, okay? And the Lyme expert tells people with virtually every illness, especially anything that might be neurological, and there is even clients and readers of mine that have been diagnosed with porphyria, and they still somehow all the brainwashing out there that they need to see the Lyme expert, and they go, and sure enough, they get the antibiotics or Artemisia wormwood, and they end up in the ER getting so much worse. When the French couple told me about their son, that the Lyme expert said that autism is Lyme, I was a little incredulous. But sure enough, I later found out that I believe it was in 2009 and 2010 that they got so holistic or pseudo-holistic physicians to give large conferences where they declared that all the neurological illnesses, autism, epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer, Parkinson, that these were all like a chronic Lyme disease. Okay, and there's no truth to any of that. I mean, if you look at epilepsy, Julius Caesar is diagnosed with epilepsy. So it's illnesses. These are illnesses that are known for thousands of years, long before the spirochete was supposedly altered in very recent times. So there's no truth to that. But it tells you something that they get corrupt physicians to have given that lecture, those lectures. And they, I believe, had hundreds of physicians who went and attended, you know, again, showing again how either corrupt or not quite intelligent that they are when they should have known better. Okay. So, but the chronic, you know, the Lyme expert declares almost so many things are due to Lyme, and therefore you need the antibiotic and or wormwood for alleged co-infection of Babesia. And nobody actually talked about Babesia until the Lyme expert started to. The a genuine parasitologist, and also someone like Huldah Clark with her books that sold millions of copies, The Cure for All Disease, just said liver flukes on the parasite that everybody has. When the parasitologist would tell you the parasites that people have that cause the most harm are the Giardia lamblia, the Entamoeba histolytica, and of course, naturally, Huldah Clark that sold millions of books and people are still getting sick from that. Just pushing the Artemisia wormwood, again, the one illness, Lyme, liver flukes, and the one treatment, Artemisia, annual Artemisia wormwood. And when you get real sick, here's among the great harm being done by the Lyme experts, okay? You get real sick from either, from whatever drugs or herbs they're giving, and Artemisia, again, is a big one, all right? And her books, and again, this is also how the Lyme experts work, so many of them, they get real sick, and all that they say is that's a good sign. That's a die-off or a Herxheimer reaction, and that's a good sign. That means you got to keep taking it. It's working. And Huldah Clark's books and the way many of the so-called Lyme experts work, there's not a single word, okay, that this could be some type of adverse reaction. Even if they don't know porphyria or don't want to know porphyria, to just tell the person, okay, to not say a single word that it may simply be making you sick, and that's not a die-off. Because die-off react, Herxheimer is usually very brief, and it's actually rare, and you don't even have to have it, okay? But people are sick for days, weeks, months, years, and some can, I believe, even decades. And all that they'll say is, if you're getting real sick every time you take the antibiotic or the Artemisia wormwood, that's a good sign you're Herxing. That's a die-off, okay? And so I still have people telling me they are reading all the Crocs books and they, before they find me, and they're doing that to themselves or their children and just causing severe lifelong illness in some cases because it's inducing porphyria.
So just to clarify for our listeners, the Artemisian wormwood causes porphyria, or can you clear that up?
Well, you can be sick from any drug or herb and make you sick, even if it's not inducing porphyria. But certainly I have found that Artemisia wormwood and also some of the drugs used for parasites, some of these drugs are very, very powerful. To be able to kill parasites, you need a potent drug because the parasite goes into a cyst state and is hard to kill. So you can be made sick, you know, from drugs or herbs, even if it's not inducing porphyria. But certain things, after doing this, you know, for 40 years and over 20 years dealing with the porphyria and being able to actually to test for some things with applied kinesiology, it's quite clear to me that the Artemisia wormwood, and maybe right after mercury, is one of the things that most definitely induces chronic porphyria. And in some cases, it might be hard to recover depending on how long you've taken it. And so people are left chronically ill. And even the internet is used. People have no idea just how corrupt this is, that how many, that's why your blog and your website is a breath of fresh air. You're having the two sets of categories, one of how sick you are in the very recent category, since you found me about finally getting well and truly well. But the internet, unfortunately, if somebody's on a chronic Lyme forum or other chronic illness forum, and they say, you know, I've taken the antibiotics and or the Artemisia wormwood or other things for my alleged Lyme or co-infection of Babesia, and, you know, I've taken it for months or years, and I think it's definitely not helping me, and I think it's actually making me sick, and I'm going to stop. Actually, within an hour or two, you'll have 10 agents come on and say, no, oh, you're just getting sick from that? That's wonderful. That's a die-off. You're herxing. That's a sign that it's working, and you need to keep taking. You'll get 10 bloody agents coming on when somebody says something like that, that they're wisening up, okay? And so it just tells you the real nature of things, that so many internet groups, forums, websites, blogs are really all about. And people are naive. They, you know, don't know how much of things are controlled. Just to give you another example of alternative medicine at a deep, deep level, I tell people, and it's in one of my books, in the 1970s, okay, well, at the very top of alternative medicine, holistic nutrition, and orthomolecular psychiatry was Carl Pfeiffer, MD. And Pfeiffer spelled P as in Peter, F as in Frank, E-I, F-Frank-E-R, Carl Pfeiffer, MD, all right? So in the 1970s, at the very top of alternative medicine, holistic nutrition, and orthomolecular psychiatry. If you don't know, orthomolecular psychiatry says for all your mental illness, including the most severe, take supplements instead of drugs. On the surface, that sounds wonderful, okay? But in actual practice, if it's put out there to hide porphyria, which again, I said on my last podcast with you, Georgia, is actually the leading cause of most mental illness, in my opinion, and others. And so it's meant to hide that. And you most certainly can also react adversely to supplements as well. You can have porphyria attacks. And again, I do believe that that was put out there to hide porphyria, because I found out in 1957 was an article that's been shoved under the rug where three British, Northern Irish medical doctors published in an Irish journal. I have a strong feeling they were turned down for the more prestigious British journal. Okay. And after testing people throughout Britain and Northern Ireland, declared that porphyria is, quote, not a rare disorder, unquote. I, in 2015, went beyond that and declared that porphyria is actually a common disorder. And among certain ethnic groups, as I said last time, Scandinavian, Irish, Jewish, and then English, Dutch, French, Belgian, and South African, I mean, it's a very common disorder, in contrast to the medical orthodoxy that says it's ultra rare. But I do believe that so much about orthodox medicine and holistic medical doctors, they deliberately hide porphyria. Because again, every medical physician learns about porphyria in medical school, okay? And alternative physicians should know even more, because it's been published, for example, since the 1990s, that Dentist Downey said if you have multiple chemical sensitivities, you know, fragrance, paint, car fumes, gasoline, any chemical, that he's linked it to causing, that porphyria is causing it, and said that and published that in the 1990s. But again, it's shoved under the rugs, And I do believe it's a deliberate, because again, I'm able to tell, because that Carl Pfeiffer put out statements in the 1970s, obfuscating porphyria with pyroluria, and the same people, similar people today, I can't name them because they're still alive, and many people flocking to them, including in your state, that hide porphyria, obfuscated with pyroluria, with Lyme disease. And it's so obvious to me that this is, deliberate. And again, Lyme disease is real, okay? I had a nasty case of it myself because I didn't get the proper treatment. And because, again, what I did get was something inducing severe illness and porphyria, undoubtedly. And this happens so much of the time. So the Lyme experts, so many people are, what I call it, induced, seduced, and reduced, that they have to see a Lyme expert. And the Lyme expert, again, will use labs that find it on virtually everybody. All right. You see, even what you just quoted when we started, Georgia, that what you found, a CDC says there's 30,000 diagnosed Lyme disease every year in the U.S. And then you also found that certain people are claiming there's 300,000 new cases of Lyme every year. And that's a factor of 10, okay? And I do believe that that's a bogus, that, again, the so-called Lyme expert, all right, and uses labs that find it on everybody, or even if they don't find it, they'll still diagnose the person, all right? Because, again, they have said that everything. I told you about these conferences that declare that the chronic neurological illnesses, epilepsy, autism, the Parkinson, and Alzheimer's, multiple sclerosis, that's all chronic Lyme disease. And there's no truth in that whatsoever. And again, the bottom line is many people that were diagnosed with Lyme, all right, it found me and my books, and through consultation, got well by stopping. They're taking antibiotics and or the Artemisia wormwood for months, years, decades, in some cases. And again, I hear horrible stories that people are getting PICC lines implanted in their chest so they can give themselves an antibiotic every day indefinitely. And here's the crux of the matter. And again, Lyme disease is real, just tremendously overdiagnosed. And again, they're giving people antibiotics and the Artemisia wormwood, and people think that that's holistic medicine, okay? When I tell people, the orthodox doctor would not give the antibiotics more than a 10-day or at most two 10-day trials, all right? That's what the manufacturer's guidelines are, and that's what the orthodox doctor would stick to. But you have these so-called Lyme experts, even the medical degree people, are giving people, telling them to take the, and also injecting and getting a PICC line and getting an IV, to put that in their bodies, the antibiotic and or Artemisia wormwood or other drugs, herbs, to do it every day for the rest of their life until they get well. And I call that horrific circular logic, because in so many people, one, they may never have actually had Lyme, okay? And two, if they had it, okay, they likely have gotten rid of it. Cause, and again, the CDC guidelines, it recommends no more than a few weeks of treatment, and found that it doesn't, and I'm not one usually to quote, frankly, the CDC or government agencies, frankly, but there's times when they're right, and the holistic or pseudo-holistic community is causing immense harm, all right? And this is one of the ones, and it's so sad to see people, again, they're taking the antibiotics or the wormwood for months, years, and I think some cases even decades, and only being made sick by it. I've had cases where people then did get testing for porphyria and proved that porphyria had been induced by the long-term use of the wormwood Artemisia or the antibiotics or both, all right? So it's causing immense illness. And again, if you go online and say you're stopping, you'll get 10 people coming on. Oh, no, that's wonderful. As you're herxing, that's a die-off. Keep taking it. Even though the person's already said they've taken it for months or years, one, not gotten any better, and two, just getting sicker. You recall in my first podcast, I said for a lot of chronic illness, it's really a simple matter. If you're still sick, it means the things you're doing have not helped. So you need to stop doing what you're doing and stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. And again, I've had many clients and readers tell me, and some of them, again, even had Facebook pages, I'm a, Lyme fundraiser. And they stopped taking the concoctions and with my guidelines or my book's guidelines, start to deal with the porphyria, and they get well. So Lyme disease is real, and even chronic Lyme disease, or what the medical orthodoxy wants to call it, post-treatment Lyme syndrome, that people are, and again, of course, they don't mention porphyria. Okay, so everyone hides porphyria deliberately, accidentally, in most cases deliberately. So again, many people either that are being diagnosed with that, because again, you see that factor of 10 difference from what the CDC and what the certain organizations are claiming, 30,000 genuine cases of Lyme versus 300,000 a year. People are probably getting diagnosed that don't have it. And even if they do have it, indefinite, literally indefinite, with the horrific circular logic, I called it, to keep taking the antibiotics and or Artemisia wormwood until you get well, where this is one where the CDC is actually right and saying they have not found any improvement in people that take more than several weeks, but they won't say, of course, something else is going on, likely porphyria.
Right.
A couple other things that while we're at it, some of the things that people do when they're chronically ill, I think I'll throw that in here now, because the Lyme illness is a big one that most people, it's out there, they're you know, all over the internet, that's what you have to do if you're chronically sick. As I said, even horrifically for telling people that the long-term known neurological problems are also Lyme, you know, epilepsy, MS, autism, Alzheimer, Parkinson, things that are known for thousands of years, and actually declaring that by the Lyme expert that's Lyme disease. So it's clear what they're doing. And again, with the first example I gave you, with the internist telling his patient after 3 years, telling him about his red urine, and all he say to him, "Let's retest you for Lyme." So it's rather obvious what's happening with him, and I doubt that he's the only one. That's actually quite common. Like with the French couple telling me that their Lyme expert just told him to take the wormwood, and when it didn't work orally, about to take him to Germany so we can get that injected, which would have finished him off. But a couple other things that are very big there when people are chronically ill and not getting better, I want to say a few quick words also, if I may. People are induced to find an expert that's claims that they use medicine that's functional. All right. This was all started by one person, whatever, 10, 20 years ago, or whatever. And you could see how that works. They get their people all over the internet to say how wonderful this is. Again, what is this medicine that claims to be functional proclaim? We take our training, medical doctors take our training. You will finally get at the cause of, we specialize, you will finally get at the cause of the problem. Okay. So all over the internet, you got people screaming about that. Find a doctor who practices medicine that's functional. Okay. And I knew what was going on, of course. Sure enough, about a year ago, I contacted a physician, got all my books, medical physician. And she told me she had taken the training recently, and she said they did not mention porphyria once. Okay. But what do you call it? But what happens? Okay. People that, again, across the internet, their agents are screaming, go see a medical doctor who practices medicine that's functional. All right. So you get on the list with that when you take the training. I'm talking about the medical doctors do. And so they charge then $500 to $1,000, for a consultation, because they're on the list that they complete a training in medicine that claims to be functional. Okay. And the bottom line is when people get nothing out of that. They don't deal with porphyria. They don't teach them that there's ways with the applied kinesiology breakthroughs like I've made to, instead of just getting a ton of supplements, that you can actually test to see they're going to be safe and effective. So there's nothing functional about anything that with people that have had that training. And of course, they get the usual results for people that are chronically ill, not very much. And another thing to quickly go over that a lot of people get into, which again has validity, just as the Lyme disease has validity, is just tremendously overdiagnosed and indefinitely treated, with the horrific circular logic that you have to take indefinitely their drugs and herbs until you get well, when those drugs and herbs are the thing keeping people sick and inducing porphyria. So another thing that is real. Okay, but it tremendously overplayed, and again, people getting toxic supplements or drugs indefinitely, is the mold neurotoxin thing. Now, mold is a toxin been known for hundreds of years, if not longer, can make people very sick. Okay, But again, in the last 20, 30 years, you got the self-proclaimed, and the big one there is in Maryland, that mold, what he calls mold or a toxin, the cause of all chronic illness. All right. And again, and the drugs and things that he recommend people take make people sick. They contain the cholestyramine, contains citrus flavoring, which is highly porphyrin-inducing. It contains aluminum, which is a heavy metal. All right. But let me again give you another example. Okay, of a reader and client who did consultation. He saw the guy, the head guy there in Maryland, paid a fortune, of course, and told all his problems, you know, mold neurotoxin, and got all kinds of things to take. You know, so he spent a real fortune in getting complete testing because it's not covered by insurance and all, you know, and the consultation there with him. And anyway, so he gets his concoctions and everything. It is told that he's got the mold neurotoxicity, and that's the cause of all his problems. All right. I don't know if he ever got better, but what he told me then, he's a wealthy guy. He built a brand new house and moved right in. And so he's consulted with me shortly after he moved in and said, and shortly after he moved into house and he had it rigorously tested for mold, okay? And all he did is got sicker than he ever had before in his life.
Wow.
Okay, and I told him, you know, it was no surprise to me. And new homes are reeking of formaldehyde. The U.S. government, I mean, so much of the lumber comes from China, as you might imagine. The U.S. government, it's compared to the Japanese government, allows, I forget if it's either 10 or 100 times more formaldehyde in lumber is allowed to come into the U.S. as opposed to Japan. So a new home has got, most people build carpets, which are put out toxic gas. And then again, anyone with porphyria, without realizing it, has the chemical sensitivities, which, you know, I really exacerbated. So to me, it was no surprise at all. But what did he went back to the Lyme expert, and all he could say to him, keep testing the house for mold. There must be mold. You see, they have this unilateral diagnoses, the way they work. Like the Lyme expert, okay, the person's begging him, telling him for 4 hours and actually for 3 years, that is off-colored urine. And the patient himself said that's probably the key, and it was. But all he's saying to him, because he's an immensely corrupt individual who should have had his license taken away, that you know, all he can say, let's retest you for Lyme. So analogously, Mr. Dr. Mold Neurotoxin, okay, when the patient told him, oh, let's retest you or your house for mold. Okay, when he tested rigorously his new house, and there wasn't any mold, but of course it's full of formaldehyde and many other toxins, and just inducing porphyria, which is what the mold neurotoxins did in the first place. There's nothing special about the mold neurotoxin. What's called the Rockless Grand Unified Theory, or GUT, I took that from physics, because in physics there's only four forces in nature, you know, gravity, electromagnetism, and two nuclear forces, all right? The Grand Unified Theory regarding porphyria is that when any toxin and or microorganism overgrowth, because that involves toxins released, the waste products from the microorganism. So any toxin, as I said last time, heavy metal, mold, drugs, injections, pesticide, formaldehyde, and or any microscopic any organism overgrowth, Lyme, Candida, parasites, bacteria, even viruses, and or the drugs or herbs used to treat them, if you're chronically sick, you become chronically sick and or allergic after that. It means porphyria has been induced. Instead of looking at the tree, like lime, mold, to see the forest, that the forest is called porphyria, that is induced by so many toxins and by overgrowths, and that's the thing that needs to be looked at, all right? So again, the mold neurotoxin thing, that's real. But in many cases, the treatment they give indefinitely is toxic, and they don't deal with the fact that porphyria has been induced. And it's a very simple matter, actually. If you remedy the mold in your house, you know, you hire a professional and kill or get rid of the mold and or move out, and you remain chronically sick and or allergic, it means porphyria has been induced. And they hide that, in my opinion, I have no doubt, deliberately so. And in fact, you often get the same medical people that proclaim in their lectures or in their books, I'm a Lyme literate doctor, and I'm also a mold neurotoxin specialist. You got the same set of people. And both of that is hiding porphyria. So porphyria is the thing to investigate. And if you can't cure your chronic Lyme, one, you either may never have had Lyme, the practitioner, the lab use may be thoroughly corrupt. Or if you have genuine case of Lyme, you likely have killed it and you're being made sick by the drugs and herbs you're taking indefinitely. You have to start dealing with porphyria. Even if you stop those drugs and herbs, you might remain sick because the porphyric is reacting to many of their foods, to environmental chemicals. You know, when I first met you, Georgia, I told you, before coming to see me, you have to be fragrance-free. And you didn't realize, I said, you know, if you might have the porphyria, then you probably also have chemical sensitivity. Okay, so when you got that out of your life, I mean, what did you find now when you're exposed to fragrance?
Well, I sort of thought I was fragrance-free before, but of course, I was just using a lot of naturally scented things with essential oils and whatnot, and not realizing that, you know, lavender, body wash, or whatever really was triggering me every time. But of course, I was in such a constant chronic state of pain and symptoms and nausea and indigestion. It was, at that time, it was not possible for me to see that I was being triggered constantly by the fragrances. Now that I feel so much better, when I do smell, and I have eliminated fragrances from my household, when I do smell something, yeah, it's very clear to me that it brings back a lot of symptoms immediately.
Okay.
The nausea, headaches. Yeah.
I can remember being 17 years old and the first bottle of cologne I bought, okay, and opened it up, I don't know if I put some on me, and almost passed out. So I didn't know, didn't even know there was such a thing as, you know, environmental chemical sensitivity, let alone, of course, porphyria. I think that might have been the first and last bottle of cologne I ever bought in my life. Okay.
Yeah.
And they say 20% of the population actually has environmental chemical sensitivity. And many people don't even know, but again.
I never wore perfume. I really did stay away from scented products. So I thought, but then after I talked to you on the phone, I went roaming around my house and found, oh no, my laundry detergent, my dishwashing soap, my body wash, everything is actually, sure, it says natural on the package. It still contains scents that were triggering me.
Yeah. It's interesting that they say, a lot of experts say up to 20% of the population has allergy to fragrance. And of course it's doing everything from headaches, because a headache on the front of the body is a sinus headache, headache, fatigue, even depression, asthma has been linked to the chemical sensitivities. So experts say 20% of the world has fragrance allergy. And it's interesting that the Downey-Rockless hypothesis, 20% of the world has porphyria. So that's a hallmark of porphyria. So it's not so simple. Even if somebody wisens up or finds out about me or porphyria and stops the drugs and herbs after taking for months or years or longer, they may not automatically get well, because they may be eating foods that are inducing porphyria, maybe breathing in things that are inducing it. You have to learn all about porphyria with my books again. And the main one, of course, is the Porphyria, the Ultimate Cause of Common Chronic and Environmental Illnesses. That's at my website, again, which is wellatlast.com. That's wellatlast.com. I think you should give your wonderful website, and people really should read your category of your sick life, as you believe you call it. And because there's not that many posts to see how you suffered for over a decade. And then your new wonderful category there, your healthy life. So people should read your life story there too.
Yeah, so you can find that at canarykitchenseattle.com. And you'll find the story of my, a bit more of my teenage years, what my health conditions looked like at that point, and the story of my high-risk pregnancy and how challenging pregnancy was with undiagnosed porphyria. And then how I found Professor Rocklitz and how I got well really quickly. So it's definitely worth checking out for anyone who is, either undiagnosed or diagnosed, dealing with chronic conditions that they cannot seem to get under control.
All right. And you definitely have read my books, right?
Yes, and I would definitely recommend them to anyone who has, either for themselves or for a loved one who is suffering needlessly. There's just so much misinformation out there, and that's what I found over the 12 years that I was, you know, searching on the internet, searching in books, and talking to people. And I would say, honestly, until I found Professor Rocklitz, most of what I was reading was actually not true. Stuff that was presented as being scientific, but now, you know, I can look at that and see that there's no science there. So I just think we're all struggling against a load of misinformation, and that's what makes it really confusing and really challenging to actually confront chronic illness.
Okay, well, I think we should stop this podcast, and the next one we'll do on neurological problems, I think, autism, epilepsy, MS, Alzheimer's, Parkinson, chronic pain. So thank you, Georgia.
Thank you, Steve.